السلام عليكم. ان شاء الله امين. الصلاه والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. وما بعد, the next session will be with our beloved elder and sheikh Muhammad Safwat Nur al-Din. Sheikh Safwat, as we mentioned previously, for those who were not present, is from Egypt. He is the emir, or the chairman, of an organization there named Ansar al-Sunnah. And this Ansar al-Sunnah group is the oldest Salafi group in Egypt, and one of the oldest Salafi organizations in the world that has been continuous, you know, organization. It was founded around 60 or 70 years ago, this organization. Also, Sheikh Safwat Nur al-Din is the editor of a magazine in Egypt called Tawheed Magazine. The Sheikh has many activities, and he has been gracious to come and tour America with us this year. He also routinely goes to Europe for tours. And this is the third time that the Sheikh has been here in the States, to my knowledge. This topic will be families in the Quran. Families in the Quran. And our translator will again be our beloved brother from Toronto, Brother Yahya, who is also originally from Egypt. So we should have a good translation, because they have similar dialect, which is Allahu Khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ونحمد الله عز وجل ونصلي على افضل خلقه وخاتم رسله وسيد اصفيائه وامام انبيائه سيدنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى اله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته وسار على طريقته وانتهج نهجه الى يوم الدين. اما بعد, ايها الاخوه الاحباب الكرام, السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. فإن الأسرة في القرآن الكريم قد تناولها القرآن تناولا كاملا دقيقا, تناولها من حيث الأحكام, أحكام الزواج, فذكر المحرمات من الزوجات, وذكر حقوق الزوجين وحقوق الأبناء, وذكر حق الوالدين وصلة الأرحام, وذكر القرآن الكريم أيضا الامتنان على الإنسان بالزوجة والولد, وذكر الرضاع وأحكامه, واستمر حتى ذكر الميراث الذي لا يكون إلا بعد تحقق الموت. كل ذلك موجود في كتاب الله, فضلا عما وضحه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك. ثم جاء في القرآن الكريم أيضا الأمثلة للأسرة التي ضربت لنا المثال مما خلقه الله عز وجل. فإذا أردت أن تسأل عن زوجين يتعاونان على طاعة الله وبره, فإبراهيم مع زوجه, سواء كان إبراهيم مع هاجر أو إبراهيم مع سارة, هذا مثال. وإذا أردت أن تسأل عن زوجين يتعاونان في الباطل, فلقد ضرب الله المثل في ذلك بأبي لهب, تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب. ذكر أن هو وامرأته يتعاونان على الباطل, وإن أردت أن تجد المثال في الزوج يقود الباطل وزوجه تنجو بنفسها إلى الحق، فامرأة فرعون مع فرعون. وإذا أردت أن تجد الزوج يدعو إلى الحق وزوجه على الباطل، فامرأة نوح وامرأة لوط. وإذا أردت أن ترى الولد صالحا والأب كافرا، فإن ذلك في إبراهيم مع أبيه آدم. وإن أردت أن تجد العكس من ذلك في الولد الكافر من الرجل الصالح، ففي قصة نوح مع ولده، لما قال له: يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين. وإن أردت أن تجد الأب يعظ ولده، ففيما ذكره رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى من قصة لقمان وهو يعظ ابنه. وإن أردت أن تجد القصة في القرآن الكريم على الأخوين يتعاونان على الحق، فإنها في قصة موسى مع أخيه هارون، لما طلب من الله عز وجل أن يشد أذره بأخيه. وإن أردت أن تجد التعادي والتحاقد بين الأخوين، ففي قصة ابني آدم إذ قربا قربانا فتقبل من أحدهما ولم يتقبل من الآخر، قال: لأقتلنك. قال: إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين، إلى آخر هذه القصة. وإن أردت أن تجد كيد الإخوة لأخيهم، ففي يوسف وإخوته. وإن أردت أن تجد تعاون الولد مع أبيه في صبر جميل فيما يشق على الولد ووالده، ففيما قاله إبراهيم عليه السلام لابنه إسماعيل: يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك، قال: يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر، ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين. وإن أردت أن تجد الأمة تقدم ولدها لله رب العالمين، ففي امرأة عمران لما قالت: رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني إنك أنت السميع العليم. إذ أردت أن تجد ذكر الميلاد، ففي ميلاد المسيح عليه السلام، ميلاد مريم للمسيح، وكذلك في ولادة يحيى عليه السلام، وكذلك في ولادة إبراهيم، في ولادة امرأة إبراهيم سارة، لما حملت بعد أن بلغت من الكبر عتية فولدت إسحاق. وكذلك إن أردت أن تجد قصة النشأة والتربية، فنشأة يتنافس فيها الناس على تربية الولد، في الرهبان عندما ألقوا أقلامهم أيهم يكفر مريم. وإن أردت أن تجد الولد لا يجد في بيت أبيه مربيا حتى ينتقل إلى بيت عدوه، ففي موسى عليه السلام عندما ضاقت أمه وخافت أن يأخذوه فيقتلوه، فقال لها رب العزة: أرضعيه، فإن خفت عليه فألقيه في اليم. ولم يذكر أن اليم سيحتفظ به، إنما قال: يلقيه اليم بالساحل، وقال: يأخذه عدو لي وعدو له، ثم قال بعد ذلك ولتصنع على عيني. هذه كلها شيء يسير من جملة قصص القرآن الكريم الذي جاء فيه من العظات والعبر فوق ما نستطيع إحصاؤه في محاضرة أو محاضرات.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبعد، our beloved Sheikh introducing this blessed topic, which he gave the title of the family as it is found in the Quran, he discusses with us many important points. Before I begin the translation, I would like every brother and sister to pull out a piece of paper and a pen, because the points that the Sheikh has listed in these 10 minutes, you may never hear again unless you buy the tape. But in order to get the fa'idah at this exact moment, pull out a paper and a pen. The Shaykh began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and making dua for those who follow the sunnah al-mutahhara, the purified, of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the Day of Judgment. The Shaykh began and said, the family in the Quran is described from every angle. The family in the Quran is described from every angle, from every viewpoint, from every example that can be given. The family was described in the Quran through religious rulings, through tashri'a, through ahkam. He explained the marriage is discussed in the Quran. The what is haram to be done in marriage, what is halal, what is the responsibility of the man and the woman, the duties of the parents, the duties of the children to their parents, how long to breastfeed. It spoke of talaq, it spoke of inheritance after a person's death. All of these things, the rulings are found in the Quran. Also, the Quran spoke in a second way of giving you direct examples of how the family should be run, how the Muslim family should be run. And this is the point that I wish for you to take down. The Shaykh began and said, you have the example of a man and woman in a blessed relationship when you see the life of Ibrahim and his wife Sarah, and also the life of Ibrahim and Hajar, the way they interacted with each other. You have an example of a Muslim man and a woman in an evil relationship, Abu Lahab and his wife, Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. And also his wife in the same surah is described. The Shaykh gives us another example of the man who is evil while his wife is righteous. He says, Fir'aun and his wife Asiya. The Shaykh gives us an example of a husband who is righteous with his wife being disobedient and evil, the example of Nuh alayhi salam and his wife who was from the disbelievers. The Shaykh gives us an example of a person who was a good son, who was a son who was Muslim, muwahidan billah, while his father was a kafirun mushrik, in the example of Ibrahim and his father. The Shaykh gives us the example of a good father and an evil son, Nuh and his son. For we see in the ayat that Nuh told his son, come, join us in the ship and do not be amongst those whom what? Disbelieved. Therefore his son was a disbeliever. In the Quran, Allah gave us the example of a father admonishing and advising his son in Surah Luqman. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبَنِيهِ Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. The advice of the father to his son. The Shaykh gave us the example of two brothers who helped each other to fear Allah, Musa and Harun. Musa, what did he say when Allah gave him and told him, you will be the messenger? You are the one who will go to Fir'aun. He said, make me stronger by adding my brother to my cause. Also, we see the example of two brothers who hated one another and fought against one another, and one killed the other, in the example of the two sons of Adam, as it is found in Surah Al-Ma'idah. We see the example of the hate of a group of brothers to one. The story of Yusuf. His brothers hated him and they fought against him and they tried to kill him. They were going to kill him. And they eventually threw him in a well. We see the example of a boy, of a child who helped his father to reach taqwa. Who helped his father to come closer to Allah in the example of Ismail with Ibrahim. Ibrahim came to him and he told him, I am going to slaughter you. I have seen this in the ru'ya, that I must fulfill this. What did he tell him? He told him, I will be patient, do what you are ordered. We see the example of a mother who gave her child in the path of Allah, in the example of Maryam's mother, when her child was still in her stomach. She said, when it is born, O Allah, I will place it in your trust. You are the one who will, I will place her in your duty, for her to work for you, or for him. She thought it was a boy. When it came, she said, I did not know that it was going to be a boy, but there was no problem, because the one after, Isa alayhi salam, Nabiullah, as we all know. Also the example of Zakariya and his son Yahya, how Yahya was entrusted, and Zakariya let him do the work of al-Islam. We also see the example of in the Quran of how a boy raises, of how a person is raised by disbelievers and yet comes righteous. In the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told his mother, throw him, put him in a basket and let him go, let him drift in the water. And this she thought would be a saving thing to him, but Allah told her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was revealed to her, and he will be raised by your enemy and mine. So we see that Musa alayhi salam was entrusted to the disbelievers. But because of the tawakkul of on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the child was raised righteous, as we all know. And the Shaykh concluded these examples, these 12 or 15 points, by saying, these are just a few examples that I can give you in my introduction to this blessed topic.
هذه القصص القرآنية فيها العبرة وفيها التعلم وفيها المواساة، فمن رأى في ولده عبئا عليه يدعوه فلا يستجيب بعد أن أخذ أسباب الهداية إليه، فليعتبر بنوح عليه السلام، فإنه بقي إلى آخر رمق في ولده يدعوه إلى دين الله، والولد يقول سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء، والأب يصحح لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم، وحال بينهما الموج فكان من المغرقين. ومن وجد أن زوجه قد أضمته وأتعبت في أمر دعوته إلى الله، في أمر دعوتها إلى الله عز وجل، وبقيت تصر على أن تدخل النار، فليحرص هو على دخول الجنة، وإن له العظة والعبرة في نوح ولوط عليهما السلام. والمرأة إذا وجدت في نفسها إيمانا وفي زوجها عصيانا وانحرافا وطغيانا وبعدا عن طريق رب العالمين، فإن عليها أن تمتثل في امرأة فرعون عندما قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين. ومن وجد أن الأبناء قد تعادوا فيما بينهم فليصبر على إحسان تربيتهم وعلى جمع شملهم، وله المثل في يعقوب مع بنيه عندما كادوا لأخيهم فألقوه في الجب فبقي محافظا على شمل أسرته وعلى جمع بيته، وجعل الله عاقبة صبره خيرا فجمع الله الشمل وتصافى الإخوة بعد طول فراق وجعل الله عز وجل ما بينهم من شحناء وبغضاء تزول سريعا.
The Sheikh continued and said, these stories and these qisas that are found in the Quran and these narrations that are found for us, these are examples for us to learn by. These are instructional tools, teaching tools for us to build our family upon and to look into and to study and to learn. He says, I say this because let me give you some more examples. He says, if a father is calling his son and asking for his son to have more iman and to come closer to Allah and to establish the prayer and to obey him, but he finds that his son is being disobedient, his son is asking for the fire instead of the Jannah, this father, he will have peace and he will have mercy when he looks into the story of Nuh and his son. When Nuh told his son, opening and looking through his ship, he looked to his son and he told him, come. Come inside and do not be from the disbelievers. His son, even to the last point, right before his death, he said, I will run to this mountain and hide above it. So Nuh, trying to collect him and to give him even one more chance, he told him, there is no asim, la asim al-yawm min amrillah. There is nothing that will protect you from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illa man rahim, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْمَوْجِ. And at that exact moment, after him telling him this, the waves came crashing. Also we see in the example of a man who is righteous and who is calling his wife to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the abandoning of her own desires, bringing her closer to the Jannah while she's trying to bring him closer to the fire. He has the example of Nuh and Lut and their two wives. Nuh, his wife was also a disobedient person. Lut, his wife was also a disobedient person. She used to go call the people to come. She called them to come in order that they may come to the angels in order to do their fahisha. May Allah curse them for this. This is her crime. Her he was correcting me, he's saying her disbelief was kufr. She did not commit zina. I hope this is not what came across. But her kufr was calling these people over to come to see these angels in order that they may do their evilness with them. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Also, now the example of a woman who is righteous, but her husband is a disobedient kafir. This example is given to us in the Qur'an, in the life of Asiya, Imra'ata Fir'aun. She was the wife of Fir'aun, who said, making her dua, رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Oh Allah, I ask you to build for me a house in the Jannah for the patience that I'm having. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ. and to save me from the evil actions of Fir'aun and his evil deeds. And also from the people who are zalimeen. And also from the people who are listening to him and obeying him. And these people who are committing oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her dua. Also we see in the example of a parent or parents who are raising up sons who are being disobedient, who are not listening to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger, we have the example of Ya'qub and his sons, who took their brother Yusuf alayhi salam. First they were going to kill him, then they threw him away. As we all know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we see how Ya'qub treated them. For many years, they still lived with him. He was patient upon them because he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to bring back his son, and he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to show him what was happening and the truth will come out. So we see the example of the patience of Ya'qub alayhi salam with his sons and their action with Yusuf.
Al-haqiqa. أن الوقت يضيق عن تفصيل بعض الأمثلة من قصص الأزواج والزوجات والأسر والبيوت في القرآن الكريم، لذلك فإنني وإن اكتفيت بهذه الأمثلة التي تمثل فهرسا أو عناوين لموضوعات تحتاج إلى الدراسة، فإني أريد أن أتكلم من أحكام الأسرة عن مسألتين اثنتين هامتين نادرا ما يتطرق الناس إليهما، حتى أبقي وقتا لأسئلتكم. أما المسألة الأولى فهي عن الرضاع، والثانية عن الحيض، وهو مما لا يخلو أسرة من الحاجة إلى معرفته وتعلمه.
The Sheikh went on and said, the truth is that we cannot stop and pause for every question to give you even these short explanations, for this is something that the time we have cannot permit. But in order that we will gain as much knowledge as we can in as short time as we can in things that we do not know, in things that we already do not know, because we may already know certain things, we will look at two questions, in his opinion, that are rarely asked, and that rarely people know or have the inclination or study. He says these two questions will revolve around breastfeeding, and the second one around al-hayd. These are the two things that the Shaykh insha'Allah will begin to expound upon for us insha'Allah.
أقدم أولا فأقول إن أحكام الرضاع والحيض، وإن كان الرضاع يحدث من المرأة والحيض منها، إلا أنهما ينبغي على الرجل أن يتعلمهما لمسائل هامة جدا في ذلك. فإذا تكلمت عن الرضاع، فالرضاع كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحرم من الرضاع ما يحرم من النسب. فما هن محرمات الرضاع؟ المحرمات من الرضاع الأم وإن علت، يعني وإن علت معناها الجدة وأم الجدة وأم الجد، والبنت وإن نزلت، يعني معناها البنت وبنت البنت وبنت الابن، والأخت من الرضاع، وبنت الأخ وبنت الأخت من الرضاع، والعمة والخالة.
He says, before I continue, in order that you may not think that this is only a session for the Muslim sisters, it is something important for us to know that breastfeeding and the menstrual cycle are extremely important for the man to know. Because he is the one who is being in full contact with his wife throughout his life with her. So he says, this is why I will discuss this with you in order that we will gain more understanding. He said, the first thing we will discuss is what is not permitted from the people in marriage of those who breastfeed, or those who are from the lineage of breastfeeding. He says, the mother, obviously you cannot come into marriage with, whether it is your mother or وَإِنْ عَلَتْ, even if it goes up, grandmother, great-grandmother, you cannot come into contact. The second is the daughter وَإِنْ نَزَلَتْ. The daughter, even if she descends down the chain, your sister cannot also be from the people that you are engaged with. And the daughter of the brother, and the daughter of the sister, and your aunt from either side. And this is what the Shaykh began to speak of.
انتبهوا معي.
The brother is just clarifying in order that you will understand more. Sisters from breastfeeding and sisters other than breastfeeding also. Not just from the blood, but sisters from breastfeeding also.
انتبهوا أيها الإخوة إلى هذه المسألة التي تهم في الرضاع جدا ويتوقف عليها فهم الرضاع. الله جلت قدرته خلق بالنطفة في الرحم ولدا وأنبت بها في الثدي لبنا، فالولد ابن لصاحب النطفة واللبن له، فهو صاحب اللبن، فمن رضع من ذلك اللبن الذي هو سببه صار ولده ابن من الرضاع، مع أنه ليس للرجل من ثدي يرضع به لبنا، لكن هذا ولده.
The Sheikh continued and said, in order to understand this and clarify it, he says, pay extreme attention, because we are getting into issues that are very technical. And this is extremely difficult for also for me to translate to you and give you the full understanding. The Sheikh says, if Allah creates in the stomach of the woman a boy, a child who is a boy, then the milk that is produced in her breast, this is solely for the boy. This is solely for the boy. Therefore the milk is his. And whoever drinks this milk, he is from him. Let me repeat this one more time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in the stomach, if He creates a boy, the milk that is created in the woman's breast, it is solely for him. If a person, another person, drinks from this milk, then he has taken from his milk, therefore he is from the boy. Do you understand? Nah. Hold on.
الرضاع المحرم عدده خمس رضعات. خمس رضعات، والرضعة انتبهوا هي التي يأخذ الطفل الثدي يمصه ثم يتركه بنفسه. هذه هي الرضعة. فإن عاد الطفل بعد ذلك إلى الثدي مرة أخرى ولو بعد لحظات فهذه رضعة جديدة. فيمكن أن يتحقق عدد من الرضعات في المجلس الواحد.
The Sheikh, alhamdulillah, is increasing our knowledge as we speak. He says the amount of drinking that a person, and we said that if a person drinks from this milk, then he is from the boy. How many times does he drink? The Sheikh says there are five, it has to be at five different times. When he says different times or five different occasions, he says each occasion is counted by. Each occasion is counted by. When the child puts his mouth to the breast and begins to drink, once through his own inclination he leaves the breast, this is once. Even if he returns to it maybe 2 or 3 seconds later, this starts the second. And if he returns it, or he lets it go by his own inclination, not forced, and he returns to it a third, this is the third. Therefore the Sheikh says, till this can be done, it does not mean five different times, five different days or different hours. No, this can be done in one setting and in one seating.
لا تعجب أخ الإسلام أن يحدث اللبن على صغره نسبا وصهرا وقرابة وتحريما، فإن النطفة أصغر كثيرا من ذلك اللبن، ومع ذلك فهي تحدث قرابات ومواريث وأشياء أكثر من ذلك.
The Sheikh continues and says, do not be alarmed or surprised that a drop of milk or drinking milk can bring a family tie together. Because even something smaller than this, one sperm, nah. Do not be surprised. Like drinking five times, don't say, oh, this is something big. Because even one small sperm, it brings a whole lineage together.
إذا عرفنا الرضعة فإني أريد أن أنبه أنك أنت أيها الرجل إذا أرضعت زوجك فهذا ولدك، وإن أرضعت أختك فأنت خال من الرضاع، خال من الرضاع، وإن أرضعت زوجة أخيك فأنت عم من الرضاع، وإن أرضعت بنتك فأنت جد من الرضاع، وإن أرضعت زوجتيك، لك زوجتين، أرضعت طفلا واحدا، هذه أرضعت رضعتين وهذه أرضعت ثلاثا، فلم يتحقق له أمومة كاملة من الرضاع، لكنك أنت أب له من الرضاع، لأن لبنك رضع الطفل منه خمسة.
He continues by saying, I wish to warn now the man, because although this is involving the woman, the man has to be extremely knowledgeable and know what the Sharia dictates. Because if the woman breastfeeds a child, then this child is now your son, in regards to the breastfeeding rights. If she breastfeeds a daughter or a girl, then she is now your daughter. And if she breastfeeds the child of your brother's wife, then he is the uncle of this child. So this is how it keeps building up. He now brings a point and he says, if you have two wives. Your one wife has a child and your other has a child. They are both breastfeeding at the same time. If your first wife breastfeeds the child of your second wife, then you have double the link to this child, because now he's your son from breastfeeding and he's also your son from what? From regular marriage rights.
تفصيلا أطول من ذلك في أمر الرضاع، وإذا جاءت أسئلة منكم سنجيب عليها إن شاء الله، لكني أريد أن أذكر نعمة الرضاع. نعمة الرضاع ليس نعمة الرضاع على
على النعمة المعروفة على الولد، لكن نعمة الرضاع في تحصيل المحارم خاصة في هذه البلاد. فقد تدخل امرأة في الإسلام وليس لها محارم، ليس لها محارم، ويكون عندها بنات وتخشى على هؤلاء البنات أو هؤلاء الأولاد، فإذا رضعت طفلة بنتها من بيت صار صاحب اللبن الأب أب لها من الرضاع، والذين رضعوا من لبنه أو من لبن المرأة إخوة لها من الرضاع، فتنتقل المحارم، يصبح هؤلاء الأبناء الجدد الداخلين في الإسلام وجدوا لهم محارم، جمهور يحيطون بهم، فلا يحتاجون إلى كشف العورات على غير المحارم.
He continues by giving us an extremely important point. He first says that we will not delve, we will not go deeply into this, because there are, as you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of statements of the people of ilm in regards to this. But what we will say is, let us now just look at what is the blessing of this. What is the blessing of these types of links? He says, for instance, if a woman has no maharim, she has no links in regards to a family. If she is to breastfeed one of the sons of one of, if she is to bring a daughter into the family by breastfeeding her, therefore this girl is now part of the family through the link of breastfeeding. So the Sheikh said this can be an advantage in regards to the situation we are living in, where people may not have any maharim, they may not have any links in regard to the family, and therefore this can cause, for instance, a woman living in a household to be in a state of full cover at all times. So he said this can be a helpful thing for us.
إذا انتقلنا إلى الكلام عن الحيض، فأنا أريد أن أتكلم فيه كلمة يثيرة جدا. الحيض دم متصل، دم متصل ينزل من الرحم في أوقات معتادة في كل شهر، فالقطرة والقطرتين والقطرات قبل الحيض أو بعد النقاء منه لا تعد شيئا، لا تعد حيضا. قد ترى المرأة قطرة أو قطرتين أو قطرات تنزل، ثم بعدها بيوم أو يومين ينزل الحيض، فهذه القطرات ليست من الحيض، لا تمنع الصلاة ولا غيرها. وقد ينتهي الحيض إلى نقاء، ترى أثر ما ينزل عليه الدم أبيض، كما قالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها القصة بيضاء بيضاء، ثم ترى بعد ذلك البياض صفرة أو حمرة، صفرة أو كدرة، يعني شيء معكر، وقد فصل ذلك النقاء، فهذا أيضا لا يعد حيضا. استخدام الوسائل الحديثة من وسائل منع الحمل وكثير من الأدوية أحدثت ارتباكات في الحيض، فلزم على الناس أن يعرفوا هذه الأحكام، فيعد الحيض من بدء نزول الدم إلى حدوث النقاء. إن سبقه صفرة أو كدرة مفصولة بنقاء أو قطرات، أو تلاه صفرة أو كدرة مفصولة بنقاء، فليست حيضا.
The Sheikh now says we will move on to the second question, which is the menstrual cycle. He says, the menstrual cycle, or this blood, it is linked from the uterus and it comes down from there. And it is during a certain time during the month. It is a known time. Drops of blood that come before it, that may be seen and stop, these are not counted from it. Or blood that is preceded by whiteness or yellow discharge and then stops, it is also not from this. Whiteness that is seen or yellow discharge that is seen before it and then it stops, the blood stops, therefore this is not from the hayd. The Shaykh says the first type, the drops that are not connected or that come down and then stop, you pray in this. This does not stop your prayer. He says there has been a great confusion that has been started now, because we see that the birth control pill has caused for the cycles to be different. So the woman does not know which days it will come and which days it doesn't. She does not know a regular time. Therefore it is extremely important for us to know what signs to look for before and after and during this menstrual cycle.
Zakarahu Khair was a very beneficial talk. I can only imagine there's probably a ton of questions. We'll try to get as many of them in as we can, but this time is short. I would like to ask if the questions relate to this particular topic. I have one in front of me that does not relate to a particular topic. So if someone wants to ask one from the floor right quick while I'm sure people will.
Then she has no problem. She does not have to come back and redo these prayers.
No. Dr. Nell.
Yeah, if a woman breastfeeds someone else's child, okay, then you said that that child becomes like the husband's daughter or son. And we know that this creates ties similar to the blood ties, and then the husband can't marry the particular one.
No.
But I wanted to know what responsibility, other responsibility, does that husband have to the child fed by wet nurse?
No.
Financial responsibilities or
anything like that? And من الرضاعة تكون بنته وزوجها هل
الرجل
The woman who is giving the milk, she would have had to be his... You mean she would have had to be his wife originally?
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is, the mother of this child. This is your question.
No. The child is breastfed.
No.
Okay. Does a husband take any other responsibilities for that child?
For the child itself?
Yeah.
Not
child
okay.
عل عليه دور في تربية الطفل هذا من الرضاعة هل له ما هو
يعني حقه لا يعني هو يعني حقه عليه حق صلة رحم.
His duty to him is the same duty as صلة الرحم, establishing the ties of kinship. This is the duty that is to be given to him.
No, he's saying the tie is like the tie of the womb.
No, it
so
will be.
So therefore, if the child is in need, you have to help them.
No.
Okay.
So it's the same as the tie of kinship.
Okay, question. Is it permissible for sisters and mothers of a woman to breastfeed her children? In other words, is it her blood sister or her blood mother? Is it permissible for her blood sister to breastfeed her children?
يجوز أن الأم أم زوجة الرجل يعني الآن الرجل متزوج امرأة هل يجوز لأم هذه الامرأة أو أخت هذه الامرأة يربى الطفل؟
ليس هناك حدود مانعة من الرضاع. ليس هناك حدود مانعة من الرضاع. يعني مثلا زوجتي أنا، وهذا أمر واقع، أرضعت بنت بنتي، فبنت بنتي أخت لأولادي من الرضاع، أخت لأخوالها من الرضاع، وهي بنت لي من الرضاع. ليس هناك حواجز تمنع من الرضاع، إنما الرضاع في المجاع، في الحولين، في العامين الأولين.
He explains to us, and he says that this breastfeeding is in the first 2 years of the child's birth. This is the last point he made, but I made it the first point for me to translate. He then says there are no parameters, or there are no perimeters that constitute when or to what effect. He says, he gives you a personal example from his life. He says his wife breastfed his daughter's daughter. His wife breastfed his daughter's daughter. Therefore, this daughter is what? It is now.
Okay.
Okay.
Question. In the Muwatta of Imam Malik, it speaks of a situation in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed a woman to give her milk to a boy so that she wouldn't have to cover in front of him. Aisha radiallahu anha thought of this as being general and permissible for everyone, but the otherwise disagreed with her. Could you explain this issue for us?
يقول الإمام مالك في موطئه ذكر حالا من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أعطى رخصة لإمرأة تعطي لبنها لطفل لكي لا تشيل السطر من عليه، لكن عائشة قالت أن هذا جائز، لكن بعض أزواجهم قالوا
يعني مسألة رضاع الكبير، سؤال عن مسألة رضاع الكبير، هذه رخصة يمكن إذا وقعت مثال مثل ما وقع في حياة الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يفتي أهل العلم بجوازها، لكن لا يجوز أن تكون أمرا عاما، أن يكون الذي يبلغ مبلغ الرجال أو ليزيد عن السنتين إذا رضع لا يجوز أن نعده من المحارم، لأن هذا ليس من الأمر العام أبدا.
He explains this narration to us, telling us that the child, it was a child of older age. This is why he mentioned that it is within the first 2 years. He said, therefore this child was over these 2 years. He says, but since in the tradition of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he has permitted it, the ulama have given certain classifications to this. But what is known to the people of knowledge is that this is not something that is to be done, and that milk is to be given to an older child over the age of 2 in order that you can uncover in front of them. This is not something that should be regularly done, although it was done at the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It should not be something that is public and am, that is to be done on a certain basis. This is something that would certain characteristics would have to be involved with it.
يعني الرخصة تنفع عند ضرورتها، تنفع عند ضرورتها، بمعنى أنك إذا غاب عنك الماء أو كنت مريضا لا تستطيع أن تستخدمه جاز لك أن تتيمم بالتراب وتصلي، لكنك لو تيممت بالتراب مهما تيممت والماء موجود فلا تتحقق بها الطهارة التي تجوز بها الصلاة. كذلك إذا وقعت الدواعي التي تدعو إلى الرضاع اللي أمر به الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فوق الحولين يتحقق به المحرمية، تتحقق به، لكن إذا لم توجد هذه الدواعي مهما حدث هذا الرضاع فلا تتحقق به محرمية. والله
The Sheikh, in order to explain to us further, he says this is to be instituted when there is only a need, and this need is to be evaluated by the people of knowledge. He says it is just like water for you to make wudu with. When there is a need and you do not have the water, You go and you make tayammum. This is enough for you. But it does not matter how much more tayammum you do. Once you find water, you must use the water. You cannot use the tayammum. So he says these things have to be evaluated by the ulama in order that they give their ruling. And he says, Wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best.
Jazakallahu khair. One question here, which has already been answered, actually, but I'll just mention it, because it's answered in general by another question. If my wife nurses her sister's children, what relations do I have with her, with these children? Can I marry these children if I divorce her? The answer is no, because it's like to tie up the womb, right? They're asking, does the answer be yes or no? Can I marry them?
لو امرأة رضعت بنات أختها أو بنات أختها هل يجوز لي بعد أن أطلق زوجتها أن أتزوج من بنات منها؟
يعني هذا السؤال، أنت كنت متزوج من المرأة وهي ترضع أبنائك، فالتي طلقتها لو تزوجت من أرضعت أبنائك الآخرين مرة أخرى فهذا لا مانع فيه. المحرمات محددة نصا، المحرمات من النسب 7، ومن الرضاع 7، ومن المصاهرة 7. المحرمات 7، 3 × 7 21. 7 من النسب هي الأم والبنت والأخت وبنت الأخ وبنت الأخت والعمة والخالة، وهم نفسهم من الرضاع، وهم نفسهم من الرضاع. المحرمات من المصاهرة فيهم 3 مؤقتين و4 على التأبيد. المؤقتين أخت الزوجة، عمة الزوجة، خالة الزوجة، طبعا عمة الزوجة أو بنت أخيها، لأن دي هتبقى واحدة فيهم هتبقى عمة الثانية، أو خالة الزوجة يعني أو بنت أختها. المحرمات من المصاهرة على التأبيد 4، أم الزوجة مهما طلقت الزوجة أمها حرام، بنت الزوجة مهما طلقت الزوجة أو ماتت بنتها حرام، زوجة الأب وزوجة الإبن.
The Sheikh says it is permissible because this is permissible because after he makes the talaq, therefore these people, they are away. These are not from the 4 that he can never marry, meaning his mother, his daughter, his wife's, the wife of his father, or the wife of his son.
Question. My husband is not patient when I'm on my period, and he is very insistent. If he can't have relations the normal way, he will at times force himself on me in a way which I think may be haram. Inshallah, I hope that you understand what I mean. What should I do in this situation?
ما يستطيع أن يطيق، وأنا في الحيض أحيانا أحاول أن يأتي لي من أنت تعرف من الدبر، فما أستطيع.
لا يحرم على الرجل من زوجته إلا الحيض والدبر، ولو يجوز له أن يستمتع من جسدها بغير ذلك، لحديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقبل وأدبر واتق الحيضة والدبر. فالحيضة والدبر لا يجوز، لا يجوز إتيانها، إتيانها من أكبر المعاصي. الأحاديث أطلقت عليها كفر، أطلقت عليها كفر، لا يجوز، من أكبر المعاصي. لكن يجوز أن يستمتع بزوجه ما يشاء، أن يستمتع بزوجه ما يشاء ولو أنزل.
The Sheikh gives us a very wise answer. He says there are two things, only two things that are not permitted for the husband to do. One is come to his wife when she's in a menstrual cycle, and the other, and before I can translate, in when a person is seeking knowledge, there is nothing to stop him from certain terms that we may use. So the second is through the anus. These are the two things that are not permitted for the man to do. Although, whether she is in her period or not, he is permitted to have relations with her away from these two areas. Even if he is to ejaculate. He, as the Rasul ﷺ said, come from the front or from the back, but stay away from these two areas or at these two times. So it is permitted for him to have some type of relationship with her as long as he stays away from these two areas.
Question. Most women believe that they cannot go into the masjid or read the Quran while they are on their menses. I have done some research on this issue, and from what I understand, it appears to me that it is permitted. Can you clarify this issue?
المرأة تقول في نساء كثير منهم يقولوا أن يحرم أن تدخل المرأة ويخارج المسجد أو تتلو القرآن. Did she mention whether to read the Quran from the book, holding the book or not?
She doesn't say, she just says.
ما ذكرت لو تمسك أو تمس القرآن وهي خارج أم لا. هل ممكن تعطي بعض؟
كانت المرأة إن كانت المرأة محتاجة إلى قرآن تحفظه أو أذكار الصباح والمساء أو بتعلم الأطفال القرآن أو هي معلمة وجاءها الحيض فلا بأس أن تقرأ أو أن تمس المصحف لأنها لا تملك حيضتها لا تستطيع أن تملك حيضتها أما دخول المسجد فليست هناك للمرأة حاجة فيه والله.
He breaks this question into two parts. Hafidhahullah. He says the first, as for reciting the Quran, if the woman is in the process of memorizing it, or she is a teacher who is making other people memorize, or she is a person who needs to hold a book in order to make the adhkar of the morning and the evening, then it is permissible for her to do this at these times, knowing that she is not a person who can control when and where her menstrual cycle happens. As for the masjid, she should not dwell in it. She should not stay in it.
Question. How should we understand the position of Aisha, the mother? Aisha, the mother of Musa, it says, who received the revelation of Allah. Or is it to be considered revelation since women cannot become messengers?
تسأل تقول الوحي أو الكلام الذي جاء لامرأة لأم موسى هذا كان أي
أبو الأسيا
نعم هي ظنت أن آسيا أم موسى فأخبرها أن هذا الوحي هل هو وحي لأن المرأة ما تستطيع تقول رسول
آسيا هي امرأة فرعون لكن أم موسى ليست هي آسيا أم موسى هي امرأة عمران لأن موسى ابن عمران أبوه كان اسمه عمران فامرأة عمران أم موسى وهذه غير امرأة عمران أم مريم فالوحي الذي جاءها معناها الإعلام الخفي كلمة الوحي معناها الإعلام الخفي كما أوحى ربك إلى النحل الله عز وجل أوحى إلى النحل فهذا الإعلام الخفي وليس الوحي بمعنى نزول الوحي الذي ينزل على الأنبياء والرسل الله أكبر.
The Sheikh Habibullah begins and says, firstly, we must clarify that Asiya is not the mother of Musa. She is not the maternal mother of Musa. The mother of Musa is the wife of Imran. And we must know that Imran is not the same father of Maryam. It is not the same people. This is the first thing. The second thing he says, this inspiration or this revelation, it may have been my translation that may have led the sister or the brother astray. When it is said inspiration or revelation, it does not mean that an angel or something like this came down. What it means is the same as when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Allah inspired to the bees. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the bees an angel? لا. It is an internal inspiration, something that they felt inclined to do. So this, I think, would be the best translation that I can give you. Wallahu a'lam.
Then that brings in a related issue here. The fine point for clarification, I'd like to ask the presenter just to make this clear. When Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala mentions the story in the Quran, when Jibril alayhi salam came to Maryam the Sadiqah to inform her of the birth of the righteous son. So in this particular case, it was an angel, although this probably appears to be the exception to the rule. Could he clarify the difference between the Sadiqah and the Nabi?
ويقول عشان احنا في هذا الموضوع عن الوحي جبريل حين نزل الى مريم هل نزل لها كما ينزل الى الانبياء او في فرق بين الصديق والنبي
الانبياء رجال كما ذكر رب العزة سبحانه وتعالى ومريم ابنة عمران نزل اليها جبريل ليس كنزوله الأنبياء إنما نزل بما أمره الله عز وجل فإذا أمر الله عز وجل بأمر وقع كما أراد الله عز وجل والملائكة يفعلون ما أراده الله عز وجل وجبريل والملائكة ينزلون بأمر الله فمثلا من أهل العلم من يقول إن الملائكة الذين جاءوا إلى لوط وقلبوا القرية على أهلها القرية التي كانت تفعل الفحشاء كان منهم جبريل فليس معنى أنه جبريل جاء بأمر وكل الذي جاء به وحي لكنه ملك يكلف بالوحي وقد يكلفه الله عز وجل بغير ذلك مما يشاء.
He says, firstly, we will state that the prophets are all men, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated. And secondly, he says, Jibreel came to Maryam not in the same way he comes to al-Anbiya. The reason he says this is because Jibreel alayhi salam, although he is the angel who is given the duty of bringing down the revelation, he is also given other duties. And this does not only limit him to bringing down revelations. For instance, we see that the people of ilm, of tafsir, some of them say from the angels that went to destroy the town of where Lut alayhi salam, the people were practicing al-fahisha, from the people of ilm, they say that one of the angels was Jibreel alayhi salam. Therefore, he is an angel who is not just mukallaf bil-wahi, he is not only limited to delivering al-wahi, but he is given to other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him, for he is only ordered by Allah, and he obeys whatever is given to him as a duty by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do.
Question on the issue of breastfeeding for clarification. Is there a certain required time limit during which the mother should or must breastfeed her child?
Which child? Just a regular child?
I assume her own child.
تسأل أحد النساء هل يوجد وقت محدود لا بد أن ترضع المرأة فيه طفلها نفسها؟
لا الطفل إذا جاع يرضى ولا بأس أن تسترضعه أو أن ترضعه من غير ثديها إذا كان هناك مضرر يعني الرضاع حق للطفل وحق للمرأة أيضا واجب على المرأة وحق عليه وحق لها بمعنى أن المرأة لا يجوز لزوجها أن ينتزع منها الولد وإن غضب منها حتى لا يرضعها لأن الرضاع فيه إشباع عاطفي للمرأة لكن المرأة لا تلزم برضاع بوقت بعينه لكن عليها أن تشبع الطفل إما برضاع من ثديها أو بغير ذلك.
The Sheikh says there is really no parameter or perimeter that is to be discussed here, but it is to be known that she is permitted to feed him with a bottle if she wishes, but she also must know that this is a haqq, this is a duty from her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her to the child. If she feels that she cannot develop and to produce what is enough, she may do other and different things, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Really, unfortunately, we need to end this session, although myself, I'm enjoying it, and I'd like to stay for another hour.
But we had to go for Salah. So I regretfully close the session. I want to make a brief announcement. At 3:30, the sisters will have a private session in here. And at the same time, the brothers will have a private